Christian Williams, welcome to Cable again.
Hello, Bill.
Christian Williams is an essential worker, a public servant, must be on the job, rain or shine or pandemic, because he opens and closes the bridges across the Willamette on the graveyard shift. This has lots of time to look at the galaxies and also think and ruminate about profound issues. And besides his paid work, he reads and writes, including one big seller, Our Enemies in Blue, Police and Power in America. Another, American Methods, Torture and the Logic of Domination, also a short book, Wither Anarchism. And he was on the board of the Institute for Anarchist Studies. So, Christian, right now in Portland, many groups are doing mutual aid in our area of lockdown and viral epidemics and climate change. There are so many cries for help, including the workers in our medical care and hospital systems, and also the poor and elderly. We heard about that in our last interview with Effie Baum. So, Christian, mutual aid may be our future, the only way cities can survive, a great coming together of its peoples, because the COVID crisis may well be giving us a glimpse of our future when international and also national supply chains collapse under assault from a more serious pandemic, coupled with more frequent and damaging climate disasters. Then cities and their regions, including the surrounding farms, they will wind up on their own, and they are going to survive only with a tremendous cooperative effort, a cooperative effort resembling mutual aid. And all those cooperative endeavors coordinated would produce life necessities and make sure everybody had them. Of course, other outcomes quite horrific can also be imagined. Christian Williams, tell us about mutual aid, the genesis of the concept, and its many virtues.
Well, the term mutual aid was coined by the anarchist Pierre Kropotkin at the end of the 19th century in a series of articles in the journal The 19th Century, then collected and revised into a book that appeared in 1902. Kropotkin was one of the most important figures in the history of anarchism. He was a Russian prince who did a stint in the military and deliberately got himself assigned to Siberia so that he could study the geography of the region, and then later became involved with the anarchist movement, which led him to prison and then a life of exile. Toward the end of the 19th century, he entered into a debate against what was at the time called social Darwinism, which was this theory that the people who achieve the highest status in society, it's because they in some way evolutionarily outcompete people who are at the lower ranks of society. And of course, this fed very nicely into structures of imperialism, white supremacy. And the basic assumption of that is that society is this ruthless sort of bloodstained competition between self-interested individuals trying to get ahead at one another's expense, and that that is in some way biologically programmed into us. Kropotkin looked at examples from the animal kingdom and then what, you know, at the time were called primitive societies, what we now call indigenous societies, and then the history of free cities and the guild structure of the Middle Ages, and determined that actually that whole view of human nature was profoundly wrong, and the whole view of nature was profoundly wrong, and that in fact, within species, there is an evolutionary advantage to cooperation as well as competition. And so the full title of the book is Mutual Aid, a Factor in Evolution. And he looks at the ways that animal species tend to hunt in groups, share food, warn each other of danger, and that the group dynamics, the result from that sort of cooperative impulse, mean that species that cooperate tend to do better than any individual in it would on its own. From this, he hypothesized a possibility for a human society that was based more on cooperation and simply looking out for each other, really more of a solidaristic model, rather than the sort of ruthless capitalist competition that people like Thomas Huxley and Herbert Spencer were trying to argue was just part of the natural order of things. There were also examples that were available in Kropotkin's own time of things like burial societies, food co-ops, you know, really, in a sense, labor unions, where individuals were pooling their resources, assisting each other, rather than behaving as sort of atomic individuals in some sort of life and death competition. And so there are these examples throughout history. And in a way, it's fair to say that mutual aid is not just an anarchist idea in the sense that an anarchist came up with it, but it's also the anarchist idea in that it is central to anarchist politics and it is the single most important intellectual contribution that anarchism has made, influencing fields like biology, psychology, sociology, and even economics. And it turns out that the research since 1902 has very much been on the side of Kropotkin and not on the side of Huxley or Spencer, that advances in evolutionary science have tended to emphasize the cooperative aspects within species and sometimes even between species. This has shown up in, been validated by social science, psychology experiments, and computer models that work on game theory have tended toward validating the mutual aid hypothesis. And even economics, which you would think would be the ideological enemy, has come around to recognizing the importance of cooperative relationships as well as competitive relationships.
Yeah, the economics was, of course, the outlier, but then for the last 40 years, until fairly recently, they were under the spell of there is no alternative to ruthless capitalism. Now they've recognized that what ruthless capitalism does is destroy societies through inequality, through their destruction of nature.
You raise an important point there, which is that there's a sense in which mutual aid is what makes society possible. It's therefore also what makes communities resilient in times of crisis or after disaster, that sort of thing. But the hierarchical society with its concentrations of power and its inequalities of wealth is very corrosive of the principle and tends to break down the solidaristic bonds which would otherwise exist. And it rewards the sort of sociopathic competition and therefore gets us in the habit of not viewing people as our neighbors and possible collaborators, but instead viewing them as competitors and enemies. And so the very structure of the society that we have tends to create the kind of behavior that it then uses to legitimize itself as the world just being this dog-eat-dog place. At the same time, it puts us on a course where, to some degree, the ability of communities to persist depends on a resistance to that overall capitalist ideology.
This is Bill Resnick for the Old Mill Variety Hour on Cable Radio 90.7 FM, Portland, Oregon, talking to Christian Williams, a local writer, wrote the book Our Enemies in Blue, and a shorter pamphlet book, Wither of Anarchism. Christian, many on the left have critiques of both mutual aid and anarchism as it's practiced today. I think some of the critiques are unfair. I think some of the critiques actually have some legitimacy. One of the critiques, for example, it's like opening a clinic one day a month to treat the very poor. And then the old metaphor, it's putting a bandage on a gaping wound, and that we can't let private good works and charity, as much as the people in them have good intentions, we can't let the private good works and charity substitute for public programs of like medical care and income support and having and enforcing a high minimum wage. How do you respond to that one?
Well, I think that's right in as far as it goes. You know, again, taking the concept back to Kropotkin, the idea was never that in times of scarcity, people pull the resources and like share food and that's enough. In addition to being the scientist who developed this observation about the need for cooperation and its importance in evolution, he was also an active revolutionary anarchist. And the idea was not simply that these sort of voluntaristic relationships within the capitalist state system were going to be sort of somehow good enough. It was that the entire social arrangement needs to be reinvented along more solidaristic lines rather than perpetuating a system in which a very few people hoard and control most of the resources of society. So yeah, it's to the degree that mutual aid substitutes for structural change, I think it's a mistake. But really what needs to happen is that the principles of mutual aid need to operate alongside of and to facilitate social struggle of other kinds. And I think that you mentioned some of the mutual aid networks that are developing in the course of this pandemic. And hopefully those relationships that people are forming now and those networks that people are creating now will outlast the pandemic and will also provide both the motive and also the structure for other kinds of organizing. So that the networks that get set up in the pandemic so that people check on their neighbors and make sure that there are healthy people to bring supplies to the sick people or the elderly. Those could also become the networks that will resist evictions, that will organize rent strikes, that will engage in community self-defense of other kinds.
Christian Williams, really good talking to you again. Keep up the good work and open and close those bridges on time and efficiently.
Thank you, Bill. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Okay. So long.